Changing the time, as we did this weekend, is an activity that more than a few people dislike. In fact, there was a newspaper article writer a few days ago that said that this is the hour that people will fuss over more than any other during the year. Changing the time is something that is so significant, we might say that people despise it. Now, I use the word despise because if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22, your Bible may actually use this word in this particular passage. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 asked if some Christians were despising the church. If you've been here for previous lessons, you now know that the word church does not mean church building. The word church describes the saved, the saints, God's people under the New Testament era. So when Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 11 if Christians were despising the church, he was asking essentially if Christians at Corinth were being despised. That is, were God's people being treated shamefully? Were they being treated with disdain? Were they being treated with contempt? Or were they being scorned? Paul's question in 1 Corinthians 11 is the basis for today's material. In our society, we still have people, sometimes Christians and certainly non-Christians, who will despise the church. A few days ago, I watched a brief discussion between a well-known denominational preacher and a TV anchor. As this discussion, it was described as a debate, but it really wasn't a debate. But as the discussion continued, I noted how the TV anchor kept saying or trying to affirm that several things in the Bible, a lot of things mentioned in the Old Testament, in his view, are not literal. He tried to say, well, you know, that idea of Jonah being, he used a whale, but the Bible actually describes it as a fish. It may not have been a whale. But he says the idea of Jonah being swallowed by the great fish or the whale. He said, I just don't think that's true. He questioned whether or not Adam and Eve were actually two literal people. He had serious reservations on how the earth was first populated. Even though this host was fairly gracious, others are far more direct when it comes to despising or showing contempt for spiritual things. In our day and time, we've reached a point, and it's sad, but it's true. We've reached a point where many have disdained contempt. They despise churches that teach the Bible. If people do not despise teaching the Bible, they may despise what is taught concerning various things in the Bible. As we think about worship, we find, as people are informed about New Testament worship, that they sometimes despise that. One example is congregational singing. We have that here because the New Testament teaches a cappella singing. Ephesians 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, 16. Instrumental music was used under the Old Testament. Under the New Testament, God has a different system, a different plan, that is a cappella singing. But there are those, as they begin to be exposed to this information, they find it distasteful. And they sometimes have contempt for religious groups that do not have instrumental music. If people are not put off by congregational singing, they may be put off by the quote-unquote old songs. Within the last 10, 15, or 20 years, a generation has arisen that despises the old songs. Now, there have been cases where people have said, we don't want to worship in a place that uses those old songs, songs that are 50, 100, maybe 200 years old. Well, there's nothing wrong with learning new hymns. There's nothing wrong with singing new songs. But before people start to despise those old hymns, we need to go back and consider something. Some of the new songs that people like so well. The new hymns oftentimes are peppy, and they are fun to sing. But as we look at the words, it's in many cases true that the new songs do not have, as we look at the words, information that teaches. When we think about congregational singing, God intended for the songs that we sing to instruct us in spiritual truths. Think about Colossians 3:16. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Singing. And as you sing, you teach and admonish one another. God said those songs, those hymns, they need to offer instruction in the truths of his word. When people want the new songs, again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but many of the new songs do not teach. Or if they do teach, they teach religious error. In addition to despising some of the worship that we find described in the Bible, contempt sometimes comes from people as far as the church because in their view, the church doesn't offer them anything to do. It lacks activities. And generally, when people have contempt for the church, when they talk about a lack of activities, they are describing a lack of fun stuff. If a local congregation does not have the kinds of activities that a person might find in a cruise ship, some say we're ready to jump ship. A similar attitude is sometimes found with modern technology. There are people that will not worship in a place if it's not plugged in enough electronically. Some want all the modern gadgetry in the world available in worship, and if they can't find it, people say, well, we're going to write this religious group off. Others despise the church. Others have contempt for a local congregation because they think it's too judgmental. When a preacher talks about truth, sin, righteousness, judgment, heaven and hell, a lot of people are offended. They despise the group. We also find people despising the church because they say, well, I've gone there and it's boring. I just don't get anything out of the service. So at least for that particular group, we have contempt for it. Now, I find that to be an interesting view because generally if you find someone who has contempt for the church because they find that it's boring, you'll also typically find with these people a statement that says the church over there is full of hypocrites. Now, to me, that's kind of odd because if you have a group full of hypocrites, they're generally not boring. Usually all kinds of interesting things when you find hypocrites. But anyway, people have all kinds of ideas that result in their having contempt for the church. We also find people having contempt for the church because they say, well, in my younger years, my parents made me attend. So there are all kinds of reasons why Christians and non-Christians may despise the church or spiritual things. Today in our society, when we find the contempt, the disdain, people despising the church, we ought not to be surprised. Because despising the church is something that's been going on for a long time. Paul, as we saw from 1 Corinthians 11, said it was taking place at Corinth. Despising the church is something that's been going on for a long enough period that we can now draw some accurate conclusions about it. I'd like to suggest this morning that when someone scorns the church or has disdain or contempt or despises the church, something's wrong. Something is seriously, seriously wrong. Spiritual things, as we look at the Bible, they're designed to result in things like peace and joy and consolation instead of contempt and disdain. Now, when things are not done correctly in the spiritual realm, a consequence of that can be the kind of contempt and the disdain that we see at Corinth and we see in modern culture. Not long ago, one of Goshen's members reminded me of a sermon illustration that I've never used, and I've been familiar with it for a long time, but sort of just put it on the back shelf. But he described for me how a preacher had once related about a local congregation. Local congregation, when they had their elements for the Lord's Supper that we just used a few minutes ago, they had a towel. They had a cloth over those items. And before the Lord's Supper was partaken of, the person at the table would go ahead and remove that cloth, and then they would do what we did a few minutes ago. A Sunday came when the cloth was not used at the Lord's table. People showed up and the cloth was missing. And everybody was upset, or at least some were upset. Where is the cloth? There's no cloth to remove. You see, enough Sundays had gone by where at least some of the people in that congregation had forgotten why that towel or that cloth was covering the Lord's Supper. Originally, that cloth had been put there because things were falling from the ceiling. And you probably don't want to eat communion bread with drywall. So someone decided, well, let's put a cloth, let's put a towel over the Lord's Supper, and we will protect that from the falling debris. Well, the ceiling problem had been fixed. But after it had been fixed, people had gotten into the habit of having that cloth there, and that tradition continued. Because people had forgotten why that cloth covered the elements for the Lord's table, when it was finally removed, some people had a fit. Well, this illustration, which is easy to understand, can be applied to the church. People often are disenfranchised with the church. They have contempt for it. They have disdain for it. They despise the church because they really don't know what it is. They've forgotten. We live in a time where people really have no knowledge of what the church is designed to be. Now, people get an idea in their head as far as what the church is supposed to be. And with that idea, then they will judge a local congregation or religion in general. And when they see that this group or these groups are not doing what in their head the church is supposed to do, then they have that contempt. Then they despise that particular religious group. All too often, and this is becoming more and more of a problem, rather than going to the Word of God and seeing what it says about the church, people will form their impression of the church based on friends or family or society at large. When people do not develop an understanding of the church from the scriptures, there will be problems. Just a few days ago, I learned about a bar church, B-A-R, a bar church that's being set up in Texas. This congregation, if the plans go as outlined in the article, it plans to conduct worship services in a bar, that is, a tavern. And this idea has been devised to reach out to people who have come to despise the church, people who have contempt for the church. Well, let's go to where they are and let's have a church service in the tavern. And as I read through this particular article, it said that instead of having a cappella singing, the people in there might be offended by that. That might be threatening to them. So let's go ahead and have secular music. Let's have instrumental music to go ahead and, you know, kind of lighten the mood and make it more consistent with what we find in that kind of environment. Imagine, if you will, offering up the Lord's Supper to some folks that are next to an individual that's sipping his whiskey. Imagine describing the death of Christ while another man orders up a Budweiser or a Miller Lite. Having a bar church is an interesting idea, but you know, that doesn't match up very well with what the Bible says about the church. People, even in this situation that I've described, don't have a good understanding of what the church is supposed to be. We've got to go back individually. And our world needs to be called back to the scriptures to say, what is the church? What's the mission of the church? What's the purpose of the church? What's the church supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? If you have a study sheet, you've probably noticed that we sort of saved our scriptures until now, and the first one that you should see on the sheet that we're going to read is from the book of Romans, towards the end of that book, Romans 15, verse 6. Paul's looking to the church of God here that was meeting at Rome, and he says this to those people, that with one accord, ye, that is the church, that with one accord, with unity, ye may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church, if we look at Romans 15, verse 6, is to glorify God. Someone says, well, why does a church exist? Here it is, to honor God, to uplift God, to pay attention to deity. Now, some of us have heard some non-Christians say negative things about the church. They've disparaged it, they've despised it, they've shown contempt for it. But I would suggest that if we could go back and as we listen to these people say derogatory things about the church, what would they say if we asked them, what's the purpose of the church? Oh, I know that you don't like it. I know that maybe you've had a bad experience, but tell me what the purpose of the church is. And I think a lot of those people, they would stand back and, I've never thought of that question. I don't know what the purpose of the church is. I know I don't like it, but I really can't give an answer as far as why God had it created. Paul tells us, the church is a spiritual institution that is designed to help man honor deity. Now, if we take this biblical definition, and we compare it with what we find in our modern world, we find that society, the devil, has been very effective at causing people to turn the church, in many cases, into something that is absolutely contrary to what we find in Romans 15, verse 6. When we begin to think about church as we see it in the world, we find that for some, the church is a place where you go and you get a healthy body. It's got something like a spa, or they've got some kind of workout program. They're talking about dieting and doing all kinds of other things. Other people, when they think about church, well, people need financial guidance. So we're going to use the church to show you how to have the best possible life on earth. We're going to give you information on how to make money and how to use your money in a good way. Others say, well, the public education system in America has some difficulties, so we're going to use the church to provide an alternative place to public education. People have come up with all kinds of activities, and these activities are not necessarily wrong. Having a good place to educate kids is right. Offering people information about money management is a good thing. Having a healthy body, no one's going to object to that. But where are the people who are saying when it comes to the church, one of its primary goals is to uplift and to honor God? Romans 15, verse 6. This is a fundamental part of the church. When the church is not involved in this activity, when the church fails to tell folks this is a primary mission of God's people, it is off track. And when the church gets off track, people are going to have contempt for it, and rightly so. The church needs to know its mission. And once it knows its mission, it needs to go out and tell the world, this is the job of the church. This is what God has charged us with doing. Now, some will look at Romans 15, 6 and say or think, well, that doesn't sound all that fun. Glorifying God, honoring God, we want the church to be a place of fun. Well, the devil has used that idea very, very effectively in our day and time. For the church to be relevant in the world, some think that it has to be a place of amusement. When we look at the Bible, though, we can start with Matthew 1, verse 1, and go all the way through Revelation chapter 22. We never find a single indication of the church being a place of recreation. Now, Christians get together and they have fellowship and sometimes do some fun things. That's part of fellowship. Acts 2, verse 42. But the church is not designed to be a place of recreation. Yet some, when they think about the church, they think it needs to be something like a scaled-down version of Cedar Point. Today, we find religious groups doing things that are more akin to a circus than honoring God. You find religious groups, they say, well, let's bring in an elephant, and let's bring in a giraffe, and let's do all of these other fun things. We find religious groups, they emphasize dramatic presentations, secular concerts, or some other type of show. God says the church is designed to be an institution that helps man, and specifically, it helps, it aids the spiritual part of people. The church has never been designed to be part of the entertainment industry. If the church gets away from its mission, it should be despised, and the world has, in many respects, figured that out. We live in a time now where school is still in session. And if you are out in the morning hours, in the afternoon hours, you see not only the school buses, but you probably see some crossing guards. Imagine what life would be like if those crossing guards were not focused on their jobs. They're out there doing all kinds of things that are fun, and they're not paying attention to the children that need help getting across the street. Well, were that to happen, we know that there probably would be at least one situation where a child would be hurt and maybe killed because the crossing guard was focused on the wrong thing. The church, as we look at it in the New Testament, is a bit like crossing guards. It is designed to help people get into eternity in a safe way. Jesus made that clear in Matthew 5, verse 14. As he was looking forward to the people who would be his church, he said, you're lights of the world. The church, Jesus said, is to be a lighthouse. It's not a place for preachers to be clowns and joke tellers. There are lots of people in our world who are very good at telling funny stories and coming up with neat games. But God says the church is an institution, it is an organization that is designed to help people avoid hell. The church is an organization designed to help people get ready to meet their Maker. We are in the business of helping guide people into spiritual safety. And if we do that, that's one of the ways that we glorify God, Romans 15, verse 6. The idea in Matthew 5, verse 14, being a light to the world, is so important that Jesus also compared it to light. He also, before he returned to heaven, gave the so-called Great Commission, and he gave it in four places. You may remember Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark's account, chapter 16, verse 15, Luke's account, Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, and then also Luke in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, gave the same information. Jesus said, go. To his people, the church, he said, you need to go, and you need to go out into all the world, into all the nations, and don't go out and entertain people. But Jesus said, you go out, you seek out every creature you can find, and you share with that individual the gospel, that message which is going to help save the person from sin. We remember, I think, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus didn't come to entertain people. He wasn't riding on an elephant or creating a circus. He said, I've come to save lost people from sin. If we're his people, this is also part of our job, a great part of our job. Now, it's going to be the case that there will be people who will have contempt for his message of salvation, but that's okay. We still need to share the news that he has given. The church, we might say, is God's spiritual hospital for people. And until that fact is accepted and realized and applied, people are going to have contempt for the church. In addition to being a place of spiritual safety, the church is also a place that affords us an opportunity for worship. The religious world often sees worship, or what it refers to as worship, as a secondary thing. In the religious world, entertainment is often the first priority. But God says, the Bible tells us, Luke 4, verse 8, worship God. This is a responsibility that we have. And one of the ways that we fulfill this responsibility is by meeting with God's people. We see it in Acts 2, the passage from Acts 20 that was read. What did the church do? They came together. They heard the word of God. They honored God by the Lord's Supper. It wasn't a time for fun and games. Paul called the church Christ's body in Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 32. And it's within this body that we worship God. We honor God. If people knew that the church is Christ's body, I think they'd be able to figure out something else. Paul, as we think about what he said in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, talking about the church as Christ's body, that tells us that if people have disdain and contempt for the church, then they also have disdain and contempt for Christ, because he is the head of the church. The church is such an important institution that God uses it to spread the truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, another passage that should be on your outline sheet, Paul said, for from you, that is the church at Thessalonica, for from you hath sounded forth the word of the Lord. He said this word, the message of salvation, has not only gone out into Macedonia and Achaia, but he says in every place. He says your faith is spoken of. The church is in the business of taking God's word to the entire world. When we want fun and games, we don't go to a wedding ceremony. When we want fun and games, we don't go to a funeral service. Funerals, weddings, they have an important place in society. But we know that their purpose is not for entertainment. A similar thing is true when it comes to the church. Almost every example of contempt and disdain that I've come across, that people have shown for the church, I can relate to a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. Suppose a person says, well, I have contempt for the church. I despise the church because in my younger years, my parents made me go. Now think about that statement. What's a person really saying? Do they really have contempt for the church? Or is the disdain for mom and dad? It's not for the church. They don't understand what the church is. They don't understand that mom and dad were trying to help them save their soul. Trying to help them honor and glorify God. If they understood what the church was, they probably would have a different attitude. Another individual may have contempt for the church because he says, well, it didn't show enough kindness to me. Now, there are cases, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but there are cases where a local congregation may fail, and sometimes fail in some important ways. But even when a congregation fails to help someone or fails to do some other things that it really should do, that does not change the fact that the church is still the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It still does not change the fact that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. One bad congregation does not mean that every congregation is bad. Contempt for the church is a tool that the devil likes to use, and he's very good at using it. Satan clouds the minds of people when it comes to understanding the church. And with that ignorance of what the church is, people often despise it. Despising the church is something that the devil wants the world to do. But God says, I want you to cherish the church. I want you to love the church. I want you to be part of the church. I want you to be a key part of the church. Why? Because it was purchased by the blood of my son. Acts 20, verse 28. The last thing that God says he wants us to do is to have disdain for the church. As we go through life, we're going to have to make a decision about the church. Some surely are going to, and maybe not the people who are here, but some, as the world continues to stand, if the Lord allows it, will have disdain and contempt. They're going to despise the church, and that is such a sad, such a tragic choice. The alternative choice, which is the right choice, is to love the church, to be committed to the body of Christ, and have an ongoing desire to sacrifice for it. Is that our attitude when it comes to the church? If we've come to the conclusion that the church is a place for fun and games, it's a place for entertainment, we need to go back and give serious consideration to what the church is. It is that vehicle, it is that tool that allows us to be associated with Jesus Christ in this life. And then Paul says in Ephesians 5, the time is going to come where Christ is going to present the church to himself, and it's going to be a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. The church is the means by which God saves us. We certainly don't want to despise it. This morning, if we need to rethink our view of the church, that's probably something that we can do on our own through personal study. If we've had bad thoughts about the church in the past, let's go back and rethink them. If we've had contempt and we've despised the church and that's kind of kept us on the fringe, let's go back and think about where we've been and think about this is the body of Christ, paid for by the blood of Jesus. I need to go ahead and better. I need to increase. I need to improve my association with the Lord's church. If we've made a great commitment to the Lord's church, then today, let's be reminded of how important that commitment is and how we need to continue it as the years and days continue to pass. What's our attitude towards and our relationship with the church created by Christ? If we can help you in this way or some other, we let us know about your need as we stand and sing the selected song. Come to Jesus.